This is a Montbog Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Well, welcome. So good to see you. So today we're going to have a look at the story of Joseph. The story of Joseph in the book of Genesis is my favorite story in the Bible. And there's so much we can learn from the story of Joseph. Yeah? I wonder how much you know about the story of Joseph already. Let's see. Joseph was one of how many brothers altogether? 12 altogether. Imagine that. That was just brothers. Whew. Man, I don't know. I think there were sisters. But, well, what a massive family. So just think about it. Now, Joseph's dad. Does anyone know what Joseph's dad was called? Does anyone know? It wasn't Mark. Well, actually, Joseph's dad is Mark. That's right, Lenny. That's great. I was actually hoping Joseph was going to be here today, but that's all right. That's right, Lenny. 10 points for you. Woo! Cara Jane. Jacob. So Jacob was Joseph's dad. And what can you tell me about the relationship between Jacob and Joseph, as opposed to maybe Jacob and all the other 11 brothers? What can you tell me, Annalise? Jacob liked Joseph the most. Oh, probably not a great thing to do, because we know the problems that caused. Now, Jacob organized something for Joseph to give to him. It was something really special that he had. Does anyone know what that was? What's your name? Isabella? Yeah, this coat with all these rainbow colours all over it. And he'd put it on. And how did the brothers think when they saw Phoebe? How did they think? Yeah, they're like really sad. They're jealous. And they're thinking, how come my dad likes Joseph heaps better? Ugh. So, well, one day they were looking after the sheep, all the brothers. And Joseph went to go and see them. And what did they think? What did the brothers think when what did they want to do when Joseph came towards them? What did they do, Samantha? Yeah, they got this. Well, they thought, let's kill him. Whew. Now, don't think that about your brothers or sisters. Go for the well option. If there's no, don't even do that. And they're like, let's kill him. And then one of them's like, we can't kill him. What are we going to tell Dad? Like, that would be a big... Imagine going to your dad saying, where's your brother or sister? That would be a hard thing to say. We can't kill him, but look, there's a well here, and let's piff him down the well. And so they threw him down and had no water in it. I don't know how deep it was, but it would have been pretty deep for them to dig down to get to water. So poor Joseph down in the well. He's looking up, seeing his brothers laugh and maybe piffing rocks down at him. Now, one of the brothers thought, I'll come back later and get him out. Who was that? Does anyone know who that was? Was it Reuben? Was it? I think it was Reuben. And so Reuben was going to do that. But while Reuben was gone, all the other brothers thought, well, he's just going to die in here. We may as well make a bit of money out of this. So what did they do next? Samantha, tell me. Man, imagine being sold. Oh, Nathan's going like, oh, yeah, make a bit of money. Woo, cha-ching. Wow, and so all these camels started coming. They were on their way somewhere. Where were they going? Does anyone know, Annalise? They were off to Egypt, and they would have been going along this path that all these camels take, and they would have had with them all this stuff to trade and stuff to buy, maybe some herbs or spices or material or gold. And they would go from place to place, going through big cities and trading and doing things like that. Well, they came across the brothers, and the brothers are like, would you like to buy someone to be a servant? And they thought, yeah, we'll pay you some money for that. And so they threw a rope down to Joseph. What do you reckon Joseph was thinking at that time? A rope comes down. What do you think he's thinking? Nathan? Yeah, I'm saved. Yes, climbing up the rope. I'm getting out. The brothers must have had second thoughts. Maybe they like me after all. They get up and there are the brothers, maybe still a bit more greedy, handing over some money. Off he goes. Maybe he's tied around his wrists and have to follow these camels. Oh, and off he goes to Egypt. What do the brothers do next? Because they're like, ugh. Remember Reuben comes back? What have you done? Where is he? We've still got his coat. So what do they do? What do they do, Talia? Yeah, so they kill an animal. They get a goat. And they kill it. Get some of the blood and put it on the coat. Why do they do that? Why do they do it, Smith? Right. So it's all, they came up with a story to think that Joseph was attacked by a wild animal. Look, we found his coat. And they even said to Jacob, well, we think it's his. You check it out. You see if it's his. Now, they knew, didn't they? It was a lie. And they lived with that lie for many years. Many years they were feeling very guilty about what they'd done. Because who knows what Jacob did when he saw? Does anyone know? Harry Jane? Yeah, Daisy would have ripped his clothes and put dust on his head, which was to show back then that they were really sad about something. And he was so sad, and he said, I'm just going to be sad for the rest of my life. And so the brothers always would have seen their dad just horribly sad, and every time they saw their dad just would have been, they would have thought, this is our fault. We know something that he doesn't know. And I don't know about you, but when we keep things in the dark, they often have a really strong power over us, yeah? And they live for so long, many years, holding on to this dark secret when really it would have been best if they would have been open and honest. Sometimes we worry about getting in trouble so we don't tell the truth. I wonder if you've ever done that before. We've got a choice to make. Do I tell the truth? Do I lie? Do I keep something so I don't get in trouble? It's important to make sure we tell the truth. Now, let's step back a little bit. Joseph had a gift from God. Now, God gives us all different things. Some of us, we might be able to sing. Some, we might be able to really help other people or give encouraging words. What gift did God give Joseph? Annalise, tell me. That's right. He had these dreams. God gave him a gift of dreams. And sometimes people have, God gives them that gift today. Maybe they see a vision or have a dream. And not only that, but Joseph, as we see later in the story, not only he could get dreams, but he also could tell people what their dreams meant. And what were the dreams that he had that made his brothers angry? Does anyone remember? That's right. So there was his sheaf of wheat, his hay, and then all his brothers' ones, and they were bowing down. And they were feeling a little bit jealous already. And he's having these dreams that they're going to be worshipping down and they're going to be paying him honour and being humble before him. Did those dreams come true? They actually did, didn't they? So what we're going to do is we're going to have a bit of a look in the Bible. So if you've someone that's got your Bible here, we're going to turn to the book of Genesis. And the story of Joseph takes up many, many chapters of Genesis. And we're going to get through some of it this week. And we're actually going to go through some of it next week too. So this is like part one. If you turn, let's have a look at some of these dreams that he has. Let's go to Genesis 37. We'll just read some of these dreams because we find out they do come true later on. And let's go, talks about how he gets this jacket or his coat of many colours. In verse 5, 37, it says, now Joseph had a dream. He told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, please hear this dream which I've dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright, and indeed your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf. His brothers said to him, shall you indeed reign over us, or shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, look, I've dreamed another dream. Sucker for punishment, isn't he? Hey, shut your mouth, Joseph. And said to them, look, I've dreamed another dream. And this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me. Whew. He told it to his father and his brothers. His father rebuked him, said to him, what is this dream that you've dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you? And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. And then it goes on to say how he was sold 20 shekels of silver, and off he went, and he took the coat and they dipped it in blood. And this is what they said, we found this. Do you know whether it's your son's or not? This is in verse 33. He recognized it and said, it is my son's tunic. A wild beast has devoured him. Without doubt, Joseph is torn to pieces. Then Jacob tore his clothes, put sackcloth on his waist, and mourned his son for many days. And all his sons and all his daughters arose to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted and said, I shall go down into the grave to my son in mourning. Thus his father wept for him. Now, who knows where Joseph was sent to? We know he went to Egypt, but he was sent to an important man. Do you know what that guy's name was? Well, Pharaoh was the guy, the big guy in charge, who we meet a bit later in the story. Potiphar was the guy's name. And Joseph was put in his house to look after it. Right? Now, is this fair? Was this fair that this is Joseph's lot in life? Have you ever said it's not fair before? Yeah? That's not fair. That's not fair. Mom! Dad, that's not fair. I wonder if maybe you haven't said it, or maybe you, surely you have. Come on. You would have said that when you were young. Mum, did I say that when I was young? Yeah. Duh, it's not fair. But how often do we think it? How often is it coming out from inside of us? It's not fair. It's so not fair. My circumstance at the moment, I'll tell you what, kids, there's some adults here that have had stuff going on in their life. It's not fair, is it? You've been sick for many years. Or maybe you really want to connect with the family member and they just don't want a bar of it. Or maybe someone died in your family. Maybe you've done all these good things and you never get recognized. It's just not fair. Life is full of stuff that's just not fair. And we can spend our time, if we want, doing that and saying, that's not fair, that's not fair. Did Joseph do that? He didn't. That's what I think, what I like about this story so much. And I think it's just, I don't know, I'd love to be a whole lot more like Joseph. Because often in my life, when things aren't going my way, right from in me comes this little kid's voice. What's it say? That was good, Nathan. That's exactly what it sounds like. It's not fair. It's not fair. I'm kicking and screaming, throwing a tantrum on the ground. It's just not fair. But something happens in our spirit when we do that. Something happens. Sounds like a weird time to pull a block of chocolate out of my pocket, but I'm going to do it because I just want... This is a block of chocolate that's... It's 86%. Dark chocolate. Now, some people go, oh yeah, that's good stuff. But for those of you that aren't used to standard dark chocolate is like 40% dark. Now we're talking 86%. So this is dark. Now, Cara Jane doesn't mind the dark chocolate. You don't either, Phoebe. But my question, is there anyone that wants to give it a go that is not used to really, really dark chocolate? Is there anyone that's really wanting to be brave and try some dark, dark chocolate? All right, come on up. I won't touch you with my hands. You can go. I take that bit there. Now, don't eat it just yet. It's a big piece, by the way. Like, it doesn't look big. All right, just wait a sec. Is there anyone else who wants to come up? Yeah. You're right with this, Bronwyn? It's dark. I'll give him a little bit. No? All right. Do you want a bit of chocolate, Lenny? Come over. Narrator, maybe do you want a step? Oh,
did I just throw?
Here you go. Now, don't eat it yet. Don't eat it yet. Just stay there, Lenny. Or you can walk away. Do you want to come over here? All right, now we're going to open up a little bit further here. You've never tried 86 dark chocolate before, and you just think, let's give it a go. You don't even have to come out the front. I'll just come and give you a little bit. It'll be good. It'll sink in a little bit about what we want to say. One person, just one. Come on, June. Yes. There you go. You can go. You come out the front, June. Yeah, just do it. All right. All right. Anyone else? Come on. All right, Josie. Well, you can't. If you like it, you can't. If there's some left over, Konya, maybe. It's for those that I'm after. I'm after a reaction. All right, that's a big bit.
Yeah.
All right. Anyone else? All right, let's do it. A bit there. You on? You interested, Samantha? Well, that's the idea. The idea is that it's going to be something that. Ugh. All right. Yep. There we go. I thought you were going to do it. Going. All right, we're ready. And go. You can eat it. Yep. Put it in your mouth, Lenny. Is it really, really sweet and delicious? Not bad. Maybe we should have gone the 90. That's all right. There's more cocoa. Oh, you want some more, Lenny? There you go. Do you want it? Okay. Did you want some more? There you go. That's right. All right, great. We've got someone. Yes. All right. Tell me, what's it doing? What's it like? It tastes. Cara Jane says it tastes black. It's like this. It tastes really dark. Tastes just like cocoa. June, you said. Now there is a little bit of sugar in there. There's a bit of a word I'm looking for here. It's bitter, okay? It's bitter. It's not a sour taste, is it, like a lemon? But it's not sweet like a lollipop. It's a bitter taste, isn't it? Sit down, Josie. All right, thanks. You guys can sit down, and you'll have that bitter taste in your mouth. That's right. If you're used to stuff like coffee, which is bitter as well. Samantha, you're struggling there. That's good. I want that to be in there because we can all imagine what a bitter taste is, can't we? We can imagine it's this. Now, the Bible talks about a bitterness of the soul. The Bible talks about a bitterness of the soul. So just imagine that. It's a bit of paper. It's not true. You can picture that bitter taste. And just imagine, I wonder if you've ever experienced that before. That same sort of stuff that does to your mouth. But it's in your right inside you. And sometimes when we have it's not fair, and we have that going on inside us, we get that same, if you could see Samantha's face. That's what's going on inside us when we have an it's not fair mentality about circumstances in our life. Let's have a look at the book of Hebrews. We're going to go to chapter 12. Hebrews 12, and we're going to read, we'll go from verse 14. Hebrews 12:14. It says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up causes trouble. And by this, many become defiled. Isn't that interesting that we can let bitterness spring up within us and it defiles many people. Yeah, bitterness in our own life doesn't affect just us. Do you know, in our house we've got the moment some little half eggshells, and we've planted some little seeds, and we've got these little grass, what are they, little cress seeds or something. And we have amazed to see, we sprinkle it on. Yeah, mums are the biggest, aren't they? And you put water on it, and within a day, what did we notice, CJ? Yeah, we planted about 3 days ago, and they've... You can give them haircuts, yeah, that's right. That's right. And we noticed that the seeds, they started to break apart, and every day it's just changing. A little shoot comes through, and then it starts growing up. And once it's grown up, can you get it to go back into the seed again? No, that sounds silly, doesn't it? No, you can't even force it in. You can't. How's it going to fit? It isn't it? That's right. But it just shows the power of what bitterness can be. It's not even something we can really handle ourselves and get it. Try and get that bitterness. We really need the power of God to come and actually deal with that bitterness in our life, don't we? Because we can't put that bitterness back in that seed and get rid of that seed. It needs to be pulled out. And we can't do that ourselves. And you might know of people who have lived with bitterness all their life. Yeah? Maybe there's some bitterness in you that hasn't been dealt with. So I'll read that again. Lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. So Joseph was amazing because he could have, when his brothers hated him, he could have gotten really bitter. So it's not my fault Dad gave me this coat. It's not fair. Why didn't he give them a coat? But he didn't. When his brothers hated him and put him into a pit, I don't know, he could have just had this real, it's not fair. But he managed somehow, and we'll talk about right in the next few minutes what I believe, how he was able to do this. I think in the pit, I don't think he was bitter. He probably was disappointed and really struggling that he was in this pit and wondering if he was going to die there. And then when he got taken out and sold as a slave in Potiphar's house, he could have thought, I'm a slave. It's not fair. But he didn't. What did he do when he was a slave? He worked really hard. And he just thought, what can I do? And the Bible says God was with him, and God made anything he put his hand to succeed. He prospered in whatever he did. And I reckon if Joseph had a real bitterness in his soul, I don't think he would have been in a place to just be of service to people and help people and for God to use him. And that's the trouble with letting bitterness and thinking things aren't fair in our life actually stops us from serving the Lord. I believe it does. Or if we do serve the Lord, it's not going to be in the right attitude. It's not going to be a heart of love and a free heart willing to serve the Lord. Now we know, we're going to stop it pretty soon because we can't go all the way into the story, but something in Potiphar's house happens. Potiphar's wife thinks Joseph's pretty awesome. Well, but she's already married. So, yeah, she's sort of pretty dangerous what that she wants to be with Joseph when Joseph's thinking, whoa, hey, what are you doing? Like, you, Potiphar, like, he's like so important. Don't. Anyway, she got really mad, blamed him for something. And then Potiphar throws him in jail. And right there and then, right in the depths of a dungeon, Joseph had a choice to make. Do I cry out it's not fair? He didn't. He just thought, what can I do? How can I help? How can I serve? And somehow he kept a spirit about him that wasn't bound up in an it's not fair mentality. And I think there's a couple of things that Joseph did that was helping that. Do you know, right at the end of Joseph's life, right in the second last book of Genesis, Jacob, his dad, is praying for, he has a word for every one of his 12 sons. And he's just about to die. Just imagine this old Jacob. He's praying for each of his sons. And when he gets to Joseph, he says that, Joseph, you are a fruitful branch by a well. We know Joseph's life was very fruitful, but why? Why was he fruitful? He was by a well. He was by a place where he was drawing in nutrients and drawing in that water to be able to be a very fruitful branch. And I believe that he had a very close relationship with God. And you know, you guys, even though you're young, how old are you, Phoebe? You're 8. And how old are you, Melody? 13. And Lenny, how old's Lenny? How old's Lenny? Is he 2? Yeah? From 2 to 8 to 13, you can have a close relationship with God. Each one of you. And God wants that. And there are going to be times in your life where you're going to be tempted to say, it's not fair. But let's be like Joseph. And let's think, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm going to keep my spirit pure and not let that bitter in my soul, that bitterness, to cause me to not be able to be in a place to serve God. When we say it's not fair, it just can really make it hard for God to use us. Now he's in prison, and we find out, we'll find out next week, as probably you know, you guys, don't they know the story of Joseph really well? Isn't that great? And that we'll find out that God uses him in amazing ways. And what I find amazing is that if he didn't have those dreams, if he never got put in a pit, and if he never got sold as a slave, and if all these horrible things never happened, I believe the whole world would have been destroyed in a famine. And Joseph was able to look back at his life and look at all the horrible things here. This was horrible. This was really bad. Oh my goodness, I was put in jail. I was falsely accused. I was hated by my brothers. All these horrible things. And he could look back, and it's in your newsletter, and it says, all these things you meant for evil, but what? But God meant it for good. And I reckon that that was the key to Joseph doing amazing things for the Lord. And in fact, not just amazing things for God, but I reckon because of him and his plan he put in place during the famine, saved the whole earth, the whole world. People came from all over to Joseph. And next week we're going to find out that we can see Jesus in the story of Joseph all over the place. And we're going to have a look at that, and it's going to be exciting. So look forward to next week. My encouragement to you guys as well is have a chat to your parents and ask them when bad things have happened to them, but God's used it for good. That's some good homework. And I want you guys to have a think about it in your life. When has something horrible happened, but without that happening, God wouldn't have been able to do something in you? Because I can think of stacks. It happens all the time, doesn't it? But think about it. Talk to one another about it. It can be really encouraging. Because often we want to shy away from uncomfortable times, or shy away from hardship, or shy away from all of these things. But God uses them. And we need to be in a place where we acknowledge that. So let's pray. God, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the story of Joseph. We thank you, God, for that amazing man who, in the midst of hardship, in the midst of hatred and jealousy and envy, Lord, he was able to keep his spirit about him, to be able to draw near that well, have you nourish him at a time where he could have thought life was just so unfair and let bitterness come and spring up in his heart. He didn't. Lord, just pray you'd help us, God. Remind us, Lord God, of this story as we go through our life this week. And we just pray that you can use us and help us, Lord, to be in a place where we can be used by you. Thank you, God, for what you want to do through us, for our friends or our parents or those around us. You want to use us, Lord, and we want to be used by you. Just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening, and please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombol Christian Fellowship.